Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this time.
Amen.
Thank you that we can be here tonight.
Amen.
We pray that your spirit will flow freely.
Amen.
Oh, you would enlighten us concerning what it is to be an inoculator.
Amen.
Oh, that we can stand with you.
Amen.
Against the decline of this age.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, tonight, we come to message number 2 in our conference where the main subject is, oh, Timothy,
amen,
guard the deposit.
Amen.
And this message is titled, Timothy's Fivefold Status. And as we've done before, anytime you see Timothy's name, you can replace that name with your own. So this is your fivefold status to meet the need in the present age. I'll ask you this. Did you know you had a fivefold status? Some of you may know. I know that the young people are very bright. Sometimes I'm intimidated myself because what you all do now compared to what I was doing, Lord Jesus. But also the things you have to face are a little different than what I had to face. So this word is very timely and very precious, right? We know this is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. And I think this is such a sweet epistle because he could have written about so many things. I mean, this is the apostle who opened up the truth concerning God's economy, concerning the body of Christ, concerning so many truths that we now enjoy in the recovery. But he chose to write to a young man, right, whose name was Timothy, which is so sweet, right? And one of the questions for the group time is to think about and consider somebody in your locality who fits this fivefold status of an inoculator, right? It could be someone that cares for you, someone, one of your serving ones, you know, someone that to you personifies these aspects of an inoculator, right? So, of course, we know that the decline of the church started pretty early on, towards the beginning of the church. Even Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, because already people were starting to teach different things rather than God's economy. So this started really early. And he left Timothy in charge. And of course we know from Revelation that the church in Ephesus did many things. Clearly. The church in Ephesus loved the Lord. But there's a difference between loving the Lord and wanting to do something for him, and loving the Lord and contacting him, clinging to him, being one with him, right? So this is what it means to have the first love. It's to enjoy the Lord to such an extent that we're connected to him in an uninterrupted way, right? In an intimate way. That we hold on to him and we do not want to let go.
Yeah.
Right? In this relationship, our faith is strengthened. Right? Yeah. This unfeigned faith that Paul is talking about, right, is our union with God.
Mm-hmm.
Our union with the triune God.
Yeah.
Where we contact him through his word and by his spirit to receive his infusion.
Yeah.
right? When we're in contact with the Lord, when we're before the Lord, He infuses us with His faith, and that strengthens us to go on. Clearly, this was the situation with Timothy, right? And then there are a few others mentioned here. Onesiphorus. And if he were here, he would probably correct me in the pronunciation of his name. But this one, I was really touched by this one because he was ministering to Paul and taking care of Paul, even when it wasn't, I'm going to date myself, even when it wasn't cool to do so. Right? Paul mentions him in the first few verses in this chapter. He was one that was taking care of him and ministering to him, even though he was in prison, even though it was an unpopular thing to do, right? Have you ever been in that situation where you're with someone and they want to go preach the gospel, and that may not be the coolest thing to do, but you stand with them anyway? That's what this one did, right? And he stood against the tide, right? There's examples towards the end of this chapter, which we didn't read, where some were drawn away. They were loving other things, right? They were loving themselves. They were loving the world. They were going after other things and caring for their own interests. But Paul and these ones that are mentioned here are the ones who were caring for the Lord's interests, right? And we have to be those as inoculators who give ourselves. We need to pray every day, Lord Jesus, make me one with your purpose. Make me one with your move. Make me one with what you're doing on the earth today. Amen. Right? We all want to belong to something. Right? Isn't that true? There's so many. Everybody's looking for a cause. Everybody's looking for something to contribute to. Right? Well, I'm here to tell you that you have been called to the highest purpose in the universe.
Amen.
So you already belong to this purpose.
Amen.
What Paul is reminding Timothy and our burden is to remind you.
Amen.
Remind you that you have this. That you are these things. You are the inoculators. And as the inoculators, you have this fivefold status. Right? The other one that's mentioned here is Mark. And I really love this story because it's a story, bless you, Ben. It's a story of recovery. It's a story of recovery. Right? In Acts chapter, and we know it's a story of recovery because Mark was a young person when he met Paul, and he had an uncle named Barnabas, and we know that he was in the church life because at one point when Peter was released from prison, he went to the prayer meeting, which was in Mary's house. This Mary was Mark's mom. Did you know that? Amen.
Amen.
I'll leave that for you for homework, but He grew up in the church. Let's put it this way. He grew up in the church life, right? He was a young person in the church life. And his uncle Barnabas and Saul took him in their ministry, right? When they went on their first trip. And then something happened and Mark left. And we know something negative happened because Paul didn't want to take him again. In Acts 13, Paul didn't want to take him again. So Mark must have done something. Maybe he backed out. Maybe things got a little too difficult and he didn't have the backbone to stay with the apostles and suffer for the sake of the gospel. So he went home. But at some point, he got so close to Peter. He got so close to the Apostle Peter. He wrote the gospel, according to Mark, same brother. And Peter calls him his son. Peter calls him his son in 1 Peter 5. And then Paul, who didn't want to take him with him, tells Timothy, bring Mark with you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I see a little bit of myself in Mark. But at the end, right, we see that Mark was very useful to Paul, right? And Paul said so himself. He is useful to me.
Amen.
He's useful to me in my ministry. Have you ever met somebody like this? Right? Maybe one of your companions. Maybe somebody that was used to sit next to you. And one day, you two are in a conference, and you say, okay, we're going to go up to the mic, right? Yeah, we're going to go up to the mic. Okay. All right, let's go. And then you stand up, and he doesn't. Right? So, right away, your reaction is,
traitor.
Forget him. Forget him. Yeah, forget him. I'm not gonna hang out with him anymore. He's gonna bring me down. I'm gonna go hang out with the ones that do go up to the mic. But along the way, someone cared for Mark, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get into this. One of the aspects of the inoculator is a farmer. A farmer. And we'll see how that's relevant in a second. So somebody had to care for him. Somebody had to shepherd him back. Somebody had to strengthen him. Right? To the extent where he was able to write, right? A book in the Bible that you read today. This one who left the apostle. So, brothers and sisters, we should care and love one another.
Amen.
We should never give up on people.
Amen.
We should never give up on our friends. We should never give up on our companions. Mm-hmm. And we have the example of Mark here. I believe that this was written for that purpose. To show us that it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing to care for someone for a long period of time. Right? It may take a long time. But through our care, through our prayer, both for them and with others, that one could be recovered.
Amen.
And he could be useful for the ministry. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel like Mark. You really don't feel like being here. And that's okay. Because whether you want to be here or not, you're an inoculator. You have a deposit within you.
Amen.
And all you have to do, fan it into flame.
Amen.
We fan it into flame.
Amen.
And we become useful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, Roman numeral 2 says, 2 Timothy is a book written for inoculators. So, it starts with an inoculation, and that inoculation makes the inoculated one an inoculator himself.
Amen.
You follow? Follow? Okay, so Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to inoculate him against the decline of the church. And I'll get into what an inoculation is in a second. And then Timothy himself becomes an inoculator. And Paul charges him to teach, commit these things to faithful men. Right? So we start with, this is a bad one. Let's try again. This is our mark. Our mark marker. So doesn't work now, but maybe it'll work later. Okay. So this is Paul. Timothy. Faithful men. Who are apt to teach others also. This is the goal. And here you can put your name.
Amen.
This is you. This is you. Right here. Now, what does it mean to teach? What does it mean to teach? You may think of it in the academic sense, where you receive some instruction, and then you impart that instruction to someone else, and you have taught them something, right? And that's accurate. It's accurate. But in the Bible, teaching has a different meaning or view. And here it is. This is you. These are your friends. They don't know God. They don't know the Bible. They can't see anything. So one day they're having a problem. And you speak to them your experience in the meeting. You went to a meeting. You sang. You read the Bible. You heard a message concerning being an inoculator. And that infuses faith into them. And now, they see. So you can think of it as removing the veil.
Amen.
Right? So your friends are walking around veiled. They don't know anything about God. They don't know the purpose of their human spirit. They don't even know they have a human spirit. True story. I was serving some young people a few weeks ago. And we were covering the story of Joseph, right? And we were getting into how Joseph had these dreams, and then he ended up in a pit, then he ended up in Egypt, and then towards the end, he's running the whole place. But one of them asked something interesting. What was it that caused Joseph to have faith? And we had some fellowship and we came up with this. Those dreams were God showing Joseph his purpose and God's goal for him. And he received this from God and believed it. And that receiving and believing was what took him from being in a pit to being in jail to being placed over all of Egypt, all of the known world at that time. Simply because he received a vision from God, and he believed it, and he joined himself to it. He joined himself to what God was doing in that moment. Your experience is exactly the same. You've received. You've heard. You've handled. And you believe.
Amen.
So your friends need to know. Your friends need to know. Mm-hmm. What it's like to be happy all the time. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, during that time, one of them asked, well, that sounds wonderful, but what is the Spirit? This was a new, she wasn't a sister yet. And I just gave away the punchline. She wasn't a sister yet. But she asked a very good question. And because the young people there were instructed, they were able to speak something of their experience. And we followed that with the truth in the Bible concerning the purpose of the human spirit and God wanting to fill them. And touch their experience concerning not being satisfied even when they got the latest and greatest thing, whether it was sneakers or video game or whatever, what have you. You get it and you're not satisfied, and that's because only God can fill your spirit.
Amen.
Right? And then it was so awesome that I asked both of them, do you want God to fill your... Yes! I kid you not. I didn't even finish the question. But right away, this one saw something. She was blinded. Before. She couldn't see. But through the speaking and the fellowship of everyone in that young people's meeting, her veil was taken away.
Amen.
And she realized in that moment that she needed God.
Amen.
And she opened and received the Lord.
Amen.
So that's what it means to be a teacher. Right? Knowing, first of all, enjoying the Lord, and knowing how to apply your own experience, because you have experiences of the Lord. Apply your own experience to your friend's situation. Because you know what? They can argue about the truth in the Bible. They can argue about whether or not Jesus was a real person. They can argue about this and that. Of course, we can show them in the Bible that that is true, or the truth concerning that. But they cannot deny you your experience. Your experience is yours, and it's undeniable. No one else has gone through that. And the Lord allowed you to go through that so that you could have it to share with your friends. And then you get them saved, and then you take care of them. Right? That's part of being a teacher. Part of being a teacher is shepherding. Right? So you take care of your friends. You call them. You read the Bible with them. So you're teachers. Right? Point two says, as young people, we need to be trained as faithful ones with a good deposit and be competent to teach others to spread the riches of God's economy. So I encourage you, if you have not had an experience that you can share with your friend, pray, Lord, give me an experience. Lord, give me an experience today that I can share with my friends so they can be saved. Right? A lot of you have this situation where, and I have it too, where you get together with this person or this friend, and every time you get together with them, you end up in the wrong situation. Every time. And then you try to preach the gospel to them and you can't. You can't. Because You may not have the standing. You may not have the ground, because you're, for that moment, you're no different than they are. Right? So the Lord needs to strengthen us, to give us the experiences. To give us the experiences we need that we can share with our friends.
Amen.
Oh, the inoculator is a soldier. I'm on point C. The inoculator is a soldier. And I'm not in the military myself, but I'm fascinated by the military and everything military. I have cousins and uncles and so on in the military, and I always wanted to be in the Air Force, and that was a frustrated dream. Praise the Lord, because I ended up in the church life instead.
And less
dangerous. But, yeah, less dangerous too. But when you think of a soldier, when I think of a soldier, and I don't know, you probably think the same, but when I think of a soldier, first thing that comes to mind is discipline. I don't know about you. First thing that comes to mind is discipline. Discipline. The second thing that comes to mind is the chain of command. There's only one boss, right? But discipline. Discipline. And Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be strengthened in the Lord. And be disciplined in everything we do. Everything we do. So that we can fight the good fight, as Paul said. Now, if you don't believe that the Christian life is a battle, then praise the Lord. But it is. It is. And, I mean, you know this. Anytime you try to talk to your friends, something happens. Oh, their phone rings. I have to go. Or your phone rings. Or all of a sudden you get an Instagram feed and you just have to check it. But it's a battle. It's a battle. And anyway, amen. So we need to be diligent, we need to be disciplined, and we need to fight.
Amen.
We need to fight. To be strengthened by the Lord to fight against this age.
Amen.
Amen. So the inoculator is an athlete. Sorry, something else I wanted to say about soldier. Point two. To fight the good fight for the Lord's interests on the earth, we must clear away all earthly entanglement. That's where the Instagram comes in. Sorry. All earthly entanglements. How many of you right now, your fingers are twitching because you would love to see what is on your social media feed right now? Right. Sorry, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Because if you weren't thinking about it before, you certainly are thinking about it now. But that shows, right? That shows. And it's not just you. It's not just you. A few months ago, actually October of last year, I had to remove my work email from my personal phone. I had to. Because I would be sitting in meetings and the Lord made this so painfully obvious one time. I'll share something with you real quick. I was sitting in a meeting and speaking. It was my turn to speak that day. And a few minutes after I sat down, I made the mistake, I succumbed to the weakness of checking my phone. And I discovered that there was a problem at work that kept me on the phone from 11:30 that morning until 7:30 p.m. that evening. Just because I decided during the prophesying meeting to check my work email. I thank the Lord till this day.
Amen.
That I went through that. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have known how weak I was. So, I removed my work email from my phone for a long period of time, and I don't have that urge anymore. Now, I'm not saying that deleting all the social media apps from your phone will solve your problem if you have that problem. I'm not saying that, but it's not a bad start. So as soldiers, we can't be entangled. We can't be entangled. You know what entangled means? It means you're tied up and wrapped up and you can't break loose. Entangled. You're entangled in so many things. Getting to the next... are there still levels in video games? I'm dating myself again. Anyway, getting to the next level is another thing that entangles you. Right? Lord Jesus. Oh, we need to be soldiers. Disciplined. And not entangled with the things of this age. Amen.
Amen.
A soldier is an athlete. A soldier is an athlete. How many here are athletes? Okay. Good. That's a good number. Yeah, you can raise your hand for this one. That's okay. Good. Very good. How often do you practice?
Every day.
Every day. Okay. What happens if you don't practice? So I don't have to tell you that, as Paul said, the Christian life is a race. And in that race, we're running towards the Lord. We're aiming to be well-pleasing to Him. The goal, of course, is for the Lord to reward us with those words. Right? Well done. Good and faithful slave. You were faithful over few things. I'll set you over many things. Enter. Enter into the joy. So, if you practice for your sport every day, and you know that the Christian life is a race, it's a race. That means you're an athlete. How often do you practice?
Every day.
Reading the Bible. How often do you practice calling on the Lord? How often do you practice preaching the gospel? Not many hands. So we need to pray, Lord, I want to contend like an athlete.
Amen.
In the Christian race.
Amen.
Right? That I can attain the crown. Amen.
Amen.
Under D.2, we must live a normal church life by fleeing youthful lust and pursuing with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen.
Amen. And my burden here, of course, is you pursue with those that pursue out of a pure heart. But don't forget the ones that used to run with you. As you're pursuing with those, remember to pray for those who are no longer pursuing. You may not have that issue now, right? But as you go on in junior high, how many are where are the eighth graders? Hello, brothers. Some of you I sit with. Good. As you go on, you may realize, you may look around and go, hey, where is so-and-so? He's not here anymore. As you're pursuing with those, remember to pray for the ones in your class, the ones you grew up with, the ones that you've always been burdened for. Right?
Wait, what?
Amen. Also, an inoculator is a farmer. Okay, I'll do what I did to the eighth graders. Read that verse. The verse you're looking up on your phone, read it. Oh, it's not, okay. So you're not looking at the Bible. Okay. An inoculator is a farmer. Amen. Okay, come back. Amen. An inoculator is a farmer. And one of the characteristics as a farmer is patience. As you're praying for those who you were running with, as you're praying for your companions, as you're praying for your friends, those who you're burdened for, you have to do it diligently. Right? You have to do it diligently as a farmer. Right? When a farmer goes out and sows seed, he doesn't necessarily know when or how, but he's diligent to labor. Diligent to labor. So, we have to be diligent, regardless of the situation, regardless of what we may think will happen, regardless of our own judgment of the person, right? We need to take all this to the Lord and pray much for our companions, pray much for our friends, and do this diligently. It may take months, it may take years, but we continue to labor, right? Point one, the church is God's farm, and we are God's fellow workers. We need to work with Him to sow the seed of life into people.
Amen.
And water them with the Spirit of life by His healthy words.
Amen.
Amen. So, this is over time. The shepherding, taking care of people, is over time.
Amen.
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 And the last point here, the inoculator is a workman. And one of this refers to a carpenter, right? And Paul equates this to cutting straight the word of the truth. So when a carpenter is building a table, whoever built this table did a really good job because all the lines are straight and it's square, right? So when we handle the word of God, we need to handle it in a similar way. And you all face this more so than I did. The word of God is being manipulated and adulterated and changed to fit the need of people. People want to do certain things in the world and they forsake the word. But we have to be those who cut straight the word. We don't compromise. We don't negotiate. We don't change the word to fit our need, right? Paul mentions this in this epistle that some even have itchy ears. Yeah, it's not as gross as you think. What Paul is referring to there is that you go look for the preacher that is saying the things you want to hear. So you shop around and you go from church to church to church, from preacher to preacher to preacher, to the one that fits your need and your situation. Right? But we have to be faithful to speak the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul is charging Timothy, just as we charge you, to do the same thing. Speak the word of God. The word of God stands firm. Don't argue. We're not saying argue. Don't misunderstand. We're not telling you to argue with anyone about the word of God. But the Bible is the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible is God's breathing.
Amen.
And in the Bible, God speaks to his people concerning his desire for them and the way for them to live.
Amen.
So if the Bible says do this and don't do that, we can't change that to fit our need. And many are doing that today. Many are doing that today. More so in your time than in mine. There was a time when certain things that are going on that you guys are facing today were shameful. They were shameful. Now, people have the right to do this. Lord Jesus, we need to cut straight the word of God as good workmen. And a workman, right? A workman is a builder. So in order to be a good workman, we have to be building, right? Building each other up with the healthy words and the healthy teaching. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, these are Paul's words, Paul's encouragement to Timothy. He told Timothy, and I tell you, that you are teachers, and soldiers, and athletes, and farmers, and workmen. Can we try to memorize that together? Amen. How about we do it this way? You say, I am a... teacher. Amen. The next one. I am a soldier. Amen.
I am an athlete.
Amen.
I am a farmer.
Amen.
I am a
Amen. One more time without looking. Amen. I am a teacher. I am a soldier. I am an athlete. I am a farmer. I am a workman. Amen. May the Lord continue to strengthen us. And may we enjoy him to such an extent that this becomes our daily experience.
Amen.
Our moment by moment experience. That the Lord would give us the experiences we need to be each one of these things to our friends, to our relatives, to our co-workers, those serving ones, to everyone around us. We can be all five of these things. Amen. And duplicate ourselves as Paul duplicated himself in Timothy and charged him to duplicate himself in others. Amen. So I will stop here and Brother Timothy will continue.
I just repeat what our brother said. In fact, I have I asked someone to draw some picture for me. I'll let you identify. What is this?
A winner.
A winner.
A winner?
Okay. Athlete. Okay. Okay. Okay, next one. Okay. This is the second one. And the third one.
A teacher.
I hope you all left with a deep impression what we covered tonight. Okay, next one. And the next one. Carpenter, huh? Carpenter. You know, we have all these five status, right? Anybody dream to be an athlete?
I dream of being
an athlete. Okay. Our brother wants to be a soldier, right?
Yes, I
do. Any brothers? You want to be a soldier? Nobody. You don't like it. Any sisters? I know that there are some sisters in New York volunteer to be a soldier. Okay, this may be a more sense you like to be. How many want to be a teacher? Okay, there's one brother there, okay? Oh, a few here. Very good. Okay, how about farmer? I'm not sure anybody wants to be a farmer. Oh, there are quite a few. Okay, the last one. Okay, whether you want to be or not, you are. Okay, you are.
Yeah, that's what my grandma says every day.
You are. You are, what's the first one?
Teacher.
You are a teacher. Amen. Like our brother said, you know, you're the teacher, right? So Paul called Timothy. Timothy is committed to trust the competent one who will be able to teach others. Whether you know or not, since you are here, there's something through the speaking that deposited into you. And that is the good deposit. And that constitutes you to be a teacher, that you can teach others. Many people, many of your friends, they do not know the purpose of their life, why they are living on the earth. You know, I was telling brothers in a 10th grade group, I was working in a restaurant, and I was no different from the other people. But one day the owner came to me and asked, you know, he said his life is terrible. He didn't know what to do. I was wondering, you know, why he came to me. There are many older than me. I was a student, you know. So when you are in school, whatever you have learned, whatever have deposited into you, many others are seeking, and they don't know. They may laugh with their friends, you know, do a lot of things with their friends. When it comes to the real need, they know their friends are not able to help them. You are the one who can help them. Okay? So I just want to leave you with such an impression that for you to sit here is not a small thing. You know, the Lord is doing something that eventually you will be able to teach others. You know, the same is with the rest. Okay, the last thing I want you to make sure that you know for sure is these five status are in the Word. Of course, our brother mentioned, you know, there are some is very clear, but some are not as clear as you thought. So how about whoever can find one verse? Okay, who can write these five status? Can you write it? The five status? Okay, you come.
I'm fine.
She is taller.
I already wrote it.
We have five status. Okay, the first one. Okay, write the first one. Write the first one. Okay, open your Bible. Okay, open your Bible and tell us which verse tells us the first one. The first one is what? The teacher, right? Okay, write a little faster, okay?
The first status, dude.
Right.
Okay.
Is? Okay, do it differently.
Yeah, do it
differently. Okay, write one. Okay, teacher. Okay, can anybody find, can you find the verse? Okay, what verse? 2 Timothy 2:2. Okay, let's read that verse together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read together. And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. How did you know this verse tells us that Timothy is a teacher? Yes? Right. So Timothy was taught, then he can teach others. Right? So it's very clear. So while you are sitting here, you have been taught. So you can teach others also. So you are a teacher. Okay, the second one. The second one is what? A soldier. Okay. Which verse tells us a soldier? 2:3. Oh, can you read it to us? Stand up and read it loud and clear. Turn around.
Suffer evil with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Right, this is very clear, right? A good soldier of what? Christ Jesus. So we all a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Okay, very good. Okay, the third one is what? The third one is?
Athlete.
Fight. Where we see this?
Fight.
Okay, can someone read it to us?
And also, if anyone contends in the games, he is not crowned unless he contends lawfully.
Right, so contends. Contends means, you know, in a game, right? If you're running the race, you're contending with others. So this shows us the athlete. Okay, the fourth one is what?
2:6.
Farmer. Okay, farmer. 2:6. Can someone read it?
The laboring farmer must be the first to partake of the fruit.
Right, very good. So farmer is very clear. The last one. Workman.
I started writing first.
Okay, so the last one is workman. Okay, write down the workman. Okay, workman, which verse? 15. Let's read it together. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as an ashamed workman, teaching straight the word of the truth. Okay, teachers. Okay, we need to write down. What does a teacher do?
Teach
others. Okay, can you write it? Teach others. Okay, what does a soldier do? What does the soldier in these verses tells us that the Lord required the soldiers for what? Does the verse say fight?
No.
What does the verse say?
Suffer.
What? Suffer.
They cannot succeed, they must
pray. Right, that's of course the soldiers, the part of fighting has to, you know, you cannot step, say, come out, I'm going to have my dinner. You cannot do that, right? So the soldiers here, if you read the verses, is the soldiers has to what?
Suffer evil.
Suffer, but read on. What the soldier? Imagine that a soldier have been enlisted, right? Then what should he do? He should not entangle himself. He should free himself. Okay, so that's why. Okay, the soldier suffer, comma, then not entangling himself. Okay, so this means when the Lord enlisted us, you know, all of us we are priests, but at the same time, every priest is a soldier. This is the Old Testament picture. You know, the Old Testament, there are verses tells you that the Old Testament priest, at the same time, they are a military service. Not just priestly service, but also military service. So the soldier has to not entangle himself. In other words, when the Lord, you know, you are here because you have been free. If today you have other entanglement at home, then you are not able to be here. But today the Lord free you and you freed yourself.
Amen.
So you come to the conference.
Amen.
Okay, so you are a soldier. Okay, Ethelie. Ethelie is what? Ethelie, according to... Has to be trained, right. What does the verse tell us?
Contend
lawfully. That means...
Enter into...
You know, when you're running the race, right? Can you say... That's too far. Let me just cross the board. you say, I'm fast. I'm number one. Can you do it?
No.
What will happen? You will be disqualified. Okay? So we all, as athletes, we should run lawfully. Okay?
Amen.
We should not do, you know, whatever we think is right. So that's why the church life, you know, you're here. We have regulations. Why? Because you need to run to contend lawfully, okay? Okay, concerning a farmer. What does the verse say? Concerning a farmer. A laboring farmer should be what? Partake. First one to partake. So as a farmer, right, first one to partake. First one to partake the fruits. So we ourselves, we should enjoy.
Amen.
Whatever the Lord has given to us, the riches, right? When the drink, when the eat, when the call on the name of the Lord, all this we should enjoy first. Okay. First one to partake. Okay. First to partake.
Heart and then
Right. A workman what? What does a workman do? I don't even know the verse.
Work for money.
Huh?
To preach the truth.
No. Somebody said it. What?
Cut straight.
Cut straight. The word of the truth. So we have to learn. Cut straight. The word. Cut through. Cut straight. Cut straight. Yeah. Right. So we all need to learn. You know, if we don't learn, then we are not able to be this, you know, five statuses. So I hope that we illustrate the word. Illustrate the word. Let me give you an example, okay? Some people, you know, they read the Bible, but they will say that we are Christians, right? Some people say we are Christians, so the Lord Jesus, he was born by who? By Mary.
Yes.
So who is the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus is God, right? So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is she God's mother?
No.
No? How come?
Kind of.
Okay. Huh?
Kind of.
So we need to cut straight the word, okay? Otherwise, we'll be deceived, okay? Because in Luke, it mentions even Mary needs salvation. Even Mary needs a savior, okay? So we need to learn the word. Otherwise, somebody come and doesn't cut straight the word. Then we get deceived, okay? So I just want to leave you with our brother sharing that we have all these five statuses, okay? And the Lord wants us to carry out His purpose, especially in the decline, and to be the inoculator, to inject, to give all the healthy speaking, what we have in the last, in the message one. Okay, let's go over again. In message one, what are the, you know, the items, maybe the eight items. The first one is what? Pure conscience. The second one? Ten faith. And the third one?
Divine gift.
Right. Then the next one?
Strong spirit.
Then?
Eternal grace.
Then?
Incorruptible life.
Then?
Healthy words.
Then?
Infallible spirit.
Can you say the whole thing? Yeah, try it. Okay, stand up and try it. Tell us. Okay. Okay, three of you.
All together.
With
your companions.
Okay. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go.
Pure conscience.
Divine faith, strong spirit, eternal grace, incorruptible life, healthy word, indwelling spirit.
There
you go. Let's all say it together, okay? Afterwards, you know, you all can share something, okay? Let's say it together.
Pure
conscience,
divine gift, a strong spirit, eternal grace, incorruptible life, healthy words, and indwelling spirit.
Okay, everybody can share something.